You're listening to the Live, Love, Engage podcast. On today's show, we're going to share some simple rules that could solve most of the problems in the world. Stay tuned. I am Gloria Grace Rand, founder of The Love Method and author of the number one Amazon bestseller, Live, Love, Engage, How to Stop Doubting Yourself and Start Being Yourself. In this podcast, we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically so you can create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. Welcome to Live, Love, Engage. Namaste, and welcome to Live, Love, Engage. And I am delighted to be with you today and have a guest on the show. We're going to be chatting today with Andrew Caldarella, who is a serial entrepreneur and has run a successful strategic consulting firm for over 20 years. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about him in just a second. But first off, I would like to welcome you, Andrew, to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah. And thank you for everybody for joining us.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you. And so let me tell you what really intrigued me about Andrew when I came across him. He is the creator of the Seventh Foundation and One Movement and the best-selling author of The Way, Seven Revolutionary Steps to Living a Meaningful Life and Making a Real Difference in the World. And if you're listening to this on your podcast platform, you won't be able to see, but he just held up the book so you could see it. So I know it's available for sale, and we're going to talk about that later today. But he's also an inspirational speaker, trainer, and coach who specializes in helping athletes, entertainers, entrepreneurs, executives, and other leaders become their best in all areas of life while making a more significant positive impact on our world, which is something that I certainly advocate doing. You know, I think that's what we should be here to do. Don't know how long we're here on this planet, and I think we ought to do as best we can with that time. So again, welcome, Andrew.
Thank you.
Yeah. So in going over your bio, I mean, there's so much to talk about, and I want to let, rather than me necessarily boring our listeners and viewers with all the details, I thought I would ask you about it because you had a, shall we say, challenging time, I believe, growing up in Michigan, which is something we actually share. We both grew up in the Detroit area. But you had some unique circumstances that kind of made it a little bit tough to get by in school. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Yeah, everybody always wants me to start at the beginning. Tell you a funny story at the very beginning of my birth. Okay, there's two different hospitals in Detroit. One is a Jewish hospital, another is a Christian hospital. My dad was driving my mom to the hospital to have me, and he took her to the wrong one. I think he took her to the Jewish hospital. I was supposed to be born in the Christian hospital. Anyways, it was just a very traumatic birth. I was actually born with dyslexia, other learning disabilities. I have a lazy eye, which means I was seeing 2200 vision out of that eye, and they ended up putting a patch over my good eye to make me look out of my bad eye. So I don't know if you can imagine this, but Kid with a patch over his eye, learning disabilities, can't read, write, catch a ball if life depended on it, can barely see. I was bullied a lot, and not only by all the kids, but also adults. Like an elementary school teacher just laid into me, ridiculing me in front of the school or the class, telling me I should just drop out. I was too stupid to learn anything. I should get a job. And so to say the least, it was a little challenging. Yeah. I did end up graduating with the help of a special teacher, my mom, inspiration of my sister. She's had a lot of health issues, almost died many times, many operations, and yet she persevered and was reading, you know, all sorts of wonderful books. It always inspired me to want to be able to get that knowledge. So I graduated from high school. I was a school leader. I was an athlete. I went on to college, got degrees in speech communications, theology, and philosophy, lived in Japan. After graduation, had a job. I traveled all sorts of cool places, met all sorts of great people. And I guess when all that was happening, though, I was also on this great journey to try to obviously find out who I was and everything. But there was always this kind of overarching mission in my life to kind of find answers to some of the biggest questions that we all have, that the answers that we usually get don't seem right or complete. And So when I wrote this book, it's not that I'm a writer guy, you know, just putting out books to make money and whatever. This was, I found some amazing information that can really change people's lives and our world. It's like there's golden threads throughout all of our, I call them the ologies, you know, sociology, psychology, you name it. And you put them all together and you find some foundations that can really help change our lives and the world. And it took me in 2015 on April 3rd, I was sorting out this bigger work that I call the book. And it had four pillars of self, society, universe, and God. And I kept finding my references to, this is key to true success. This is key to true success. And I put all these keys together and it was seriously like a secret code got unlocked. I worked for 3 days straight without hardly any sleep or eating or anything and outlined a whole series. And the next 5 years to write this book and get it out. And it was a great challenge, but all the feedback so far has been wonderful. And, you know, it's been challenging. I've had a lot of setbacks even now, kind of behind the eight ball to get all this going, but here I am. So we're just kind of started.
Live to tell the tale.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that's awesome that you... Number one, actually, you know what, really, I want to go back to a little bit of, you know, I love how, number one, the fact that you're able to just kind of power through and write that book. I'm in awe of you for doing that because it took me a lot longer to write my book.
Well, it was 30 years. So 5 years from the realization of what I had seen.
Yeah.
But 30 years before that of all the research and work. So.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I will grant you that. Yeah. These things are not always... It's not like you're writing, you know, an ebook about how to market your business on Facebook that you could probably knock out in, you know, in 2 hours and not have to do too much to it. But one thing that I wanted to get back to, because it was sort of interesting that, you know, you had been exploring these things for so long. So what actually prompted you to you know, major essentially in like philosophy in college, because I'm wondering what your parents might have thought about that. They're probably thinking, you know, we want you to get a good job and you're studying philosophy. I mean,
I went to college to be a forest ranger. I was really into nature and
I
picked, there's two of the best schools in the United States. One's in Northern California, one's in back east somewhere. So I chose Northern California, set in the redwood trees. It's kind of my dream, but being dyslexic and everything, science and math are really hard because I have a really hard time memorizing formulas and all that kind of stuff. And believe it or not, forest rangers are scientists. I mean, they know everything you can imagine. So I had to change my major. I probably changed it 7 times. I ended up with a speech communications degree as my primary degree. So I have that and the philosophy and theology degrees. It's Eastern philosophy and religious studies. So I studied all the world's religions and all the philosophies. That was more of my, calling in a way. It just was natural to me. I didn't struggle going through those courses. I would ace Indian philosophy, you know, classes, just reading and like interpret what this means. And like, I'd be done in 20 minutes of still working. It was just part of my upbringing in a way that I think that allowed me to do that. As far as getting a job, you know, I think that was always a concern with my parents because, you know, they weren't sure if I was going to make it out of school and, you know, with other challenges that I have. So it was a big deal. And I've had a lot of other challenges in my life. I've been hit by cars and hit by dogs, almost lost my leg, was unable to walk for many, many years. And, you know, a lot of these struggles. So I think my family was always like, gosh, you know, this guy, what's going to happen to him? So when I was hit by a car in 2000, it was 1999, right at the end, December. I was able to sit down, drive in a car or anything for many, many years. I had luckily just started my business, consulting ACE and like a couple months before that. So it was just starting to take off. I was literally working from my bed, making phone calls in agony. I mean, I couldn't walk. I was crawling to the bathroom. Nobody knew, but it was tough. I mean, I can't say this has been an easy life, so far. And I think it's though, because to know the wrongness is the only way that you can know how to fix it. You know what I mean? If you don't go through some of this stuff and understand the hardships of life and the challenges mentally and emotionally, I don't know if there's athletes out there that have ever hurt themselves, but I, you know, was working out. I've been a martial artist, doing yoga and working out probably a couple hours a day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Most days, yeah. at least an hour. And to do that and then go to nothing. Don't move. If you move, you're in agony. If you're spasming out, you can't do anything. It is very, very, very challenging. I mean, I can't say that I almost, you know, I'm broken down to tears sometimes. Just, you know, the best years of your life, you're laying in bed and, you know, all your friends are out there. I was dating a girl at one point where I couldn't even tell her. I was so embarrassed that I was hurt. I couldn't see her anymore. You know, I broke the date. And then, I don't know, you know, you go through these things and it was like, I was honest with her later, but it's just so, I don't want to say, I think for men, especially to have something like that happen to you, you just don't want to admit it to everybody. So there's a challenge in that, you know what I mean? And overcoming that and sharing all these challenges that I have. I actually kept all of this to think of my learning disabilities. Everything was just, no, don't tell anybody. Just keep it a secret. Mm-hmm. Till a few years ago when, I was dating another one. I have these angels visit me in my life for a little while. She convinced me that that was what would give people hope and show people that, look, you've been through so much that if you can make it, maybe they can make it, you know? And, I talked to a couple of dyslexic kids after that, and it did make a difference in their life. And I think that you can't ever write off anybody. You know, we got to start embracing humanity's diversity and stop this judgmental, hateful attitude. We're all human. We're all have failings. You know, we're all born ignorant. We don't all know everything. Let's not be so hard on each other all the time. You know, let's help each other.
Absolutely, yeah. And I do believe that, you know, all of these trials and tribulations that you went through, did, I'm sure, inform the book and does make it more powerful because you have, you know, sometimes we have to go through these trials by fire in order to come out the other side. So tell us a little bit about, let's dive into the book a little bit and because you say that the way actually can help us to be our best physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, and in relationships with family and in society. So how does that actually help us do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about the basic idea of what the goal of life is. Okay, is it? A lot of times we get wrapped up in wealth, power, and fame as being the goal of life, right? And all my research shows that is absolutely not true. You know, the goal of life. If you get wrapped up in power, money, and fame, those are roles and positions and things, and they are not going to lead you to happiness. If anything, they can lead you astray and to embrace things you don't want to be embracing. I define the goal of life as honestly is what a loving mother wants for her child, right? She wants her to be happy and healthy and have great long-lasting relationships, to have a wonderful work that they do, that they're passionate about, that they love, and all the other pieces that makes up a wonderful life. They want them really just to be fulfilled and be happy. So the question becomes, then how do we do that?
Right.
And the way is living rational, positive action. And I'm saying that because, and again, this isn't Andrew's way. This is the human way. Okay, let me explain why that is true. Any solution that you need needs to have these characteristics, right? It needs to be something that you live, that you are all the time. It can't be just something you do once in a while or something that's really difficult. So you think about it and, oh, I did it. You know, no, it needs to be something you live. It's living rational because it needs to be reasonable and logical and need to be customizable to fit everybody's life. It needs to be emotionally fulfilling and have all the completeness that you are looking for, those missing pieces, as well as a whole program that you can follow. So it's living rational, positive. Every solution that we're looking for has to be about goodness. And just, you know, the ultimate good traits that human beings label are called virtues. So when I was going through this, I was deep into Jung and Freud and trying to analyze the mind and the emotions and everything. And I finally had this huge realization that was, they were always saying like your core belief system is what makes the big difference. Your core beliefs will make you succeed or fail or whatever. And that realization and the idea of this virtues really resonated with me. So it's living rational, positive, integrating virtues into your life. But to make a virtue real, you have to take actions. Virtues require you to take a lot of different types of actions. Like the virtue of being punctual requires you to take actions like leaving on time, setting reminders, and all the rest. Being healthy, having a great sleeping program, eating program, you know, all the rest of these pieces. And the ultimate ways of doing things are what we call best practices. So it's living rational positive action is about integrating virtue and best practices into your life. And just to talk about best practices for a second, you know, over the last couple thousand years, we've come a long way. There may be for every solution, 5 or 10 best practices that you can adapt to help you. And it may be in one moment, this best practice works, whereas another, this best practice works. But knowing those allows you to optimize your life. So the way is about living rational positive action, integrating these virtues and best practices into your life through 7 steps. And the first 3 steps will get everybody on their true path, no matter where they are in life. And the rest of them show you how to implement all the different foundations of life that you need to know. That makes sense?
It does. It does. Yes. And for those of you watching on YouTube, you may notice I'm muting myself from time to time because we are having a thunderstorm outside my home right now. And it's like, I don't know if the microphone will pick it up, but just in case I'm doing that. So
we're having a heat wave here. So I have my air conditioning on in this room because it's 100 degrees out there.
Oh goodness. So the book then really does, offer people, what's the word I'm looking for? A path and a way, I suppose, then to actually putting it that way. To follow, to steps that they can implement then to be able to really do become their best selves in all aspects of life.
So, absolutely.
Okay, cool.
You know, one of the keys I think that everybody seems to like is how, you know, to understand life. Okay. And this whole game of life that we're playing. So can we talk about that for a second? I'm kind of perfecting how to explain this. And I've
absolutely, yeah.
Now, you know, the kids game of life, the box game has a box, you open up as a game board, you move your pieces, you roll dice or spin that spinner, take cards, chance, you know, which way you're going to go. Our life, the game of our life, the real life that you live, these rules, regulations, the game board, everything is contained with what we call the human conditions. Okay, the human conditions are things like universals, right? We have gravity, we're in this big universe, day and night, entropy, space, time, all these big things. And then there's human-centric conditions that are more like we need food to exist. We're all born ignorant. We take so long for us to develop into adults. All the rest of these human-centric factors. Mm-hmm. Now, when I put all these together and you add them all up, they really focus humanity in 3 ways. On self-development, self-control, and societal development. Mm-hmm. I mean, you literally have to develop yourself from a little baby and you have to keep developing your mind and your emotions and everything else throughout your life. So you also want to control this because you don't want to just be some crazy person just does anything they want, right? Self-control is a big aspect of life. So if you look at these human conditions, it really sets up the whole purpose and the meaning of life, right? If the whole purpose or the whole focus is self-control, self-development, and societal development, right? This means that the meaning of life is to make your life meaningful. You literally have to put thought into it and make it into something that is meaningful to you. This also led in the step 4 of the way. Let me just backstep a second. I mentioned that our core beliefs determine a lot of your life.
Right.
And what I found when I did all this research, especially into the mind and people that are successful in overcoming certain tragedies or whatnot, it literally is a couple of beliefs that might get them through. And it's your ability to center yourself around a core belief system that will allow you to navigate through life that's going to make all the difference to you. And what I found is there are 10 laws that will allow you to navigate through life in every situation. When you ask people what their core values are, a lot of people don't even know what they are. They mention things like family and faith. Those aren't values. Those are things you're focused on, but they're not a value. They're not a virtue. Mm-hmm. So the idea of the first 2 laws are the laws of purpose. And again, these come out of the human conditions, the meaning of life. And this also boils down to what all of faith, success, pretty much the whole goal of life is around. So the primary purpose of life is for you to become your true self, live a true life, and go to heaven. The primary purpose of society is to become our true society, right? So it should seem obvious that you being the ultimate you, living your ultimate life, creating the ultimate society, and going to the ultimate place would be the ultimate goal of life. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So that alone sets your direction in a positive way. It can And again, if you're not of faith, you don't have to put heaven in there. But the whole idea here is it's like you becoming the best you in your life, helping create a better world and uniting or bonding with the divine and God and whatnot. That really sums up all of life right there. The next five laws, or the next three laws, are the universal laws. And again, these are everywhere. Mm. Respect life. All people are equal. And treat people as you want to be treated.
Right.
Just those three alone, respecting life, and it's covered in detail in the book, has to do with caring for our world. And you know, it supplies our clean water, air, everything we need. It's literally our womb we live within. It makes sense to care for it and to mm-hmm. do it properly. So it gives you the keys to do that in there. And then equality, right? All humans are equal. It doesn't mean that we're all equal in ability. It's certainly some of us are better at some things than other. You would not hire me to be a math whiz. But it means that we're all equal in deserving of respect and considering the law and all the rest of the main parts of life, right? And equality in the sense of all human beings being equal, let me just say it's science and religion agree on this point. In science, it's 99.9% of our DNA is the same for all human beings,
right?
So, and for religion and the faithful, we all know that God created all of us and everything. So science and religion agree that we're all one human family. Right. So equality is a central tenet to how we're going to fix this world because treating people as you want to be treated is the golden rule. And that shows up in every faith throughout time. Those rules alone could solve most of the problems in the world. I mean, if you embrace it individually and as an organization,
absolutely,
you're not going to have problems with, you know, like what happened with George Floyd or any other shootings or even the horror that's going online, you know, with all these lies and misinformation and all the rest. Because you wouldn't want to be treated that way. You
right.
know what I mean? This is equality. We're out to better our society. This isn't a game. You know, this is real life. People's lives are on the line here. And it doesn't have to be this way, people. We just have the wrong leaders and we don't all have the same core belief system that's guiding us. And that's the major problem that I find in the world. Or one of them, anyway.
Yeah. We could be here all day to talk about the rest of them. So I'm going to shift gears a little bit and sure. talk about something else that I mentioned in your bio is the fact that you created something called the Seventh Foundation and the One Movement. So can you tell us a little bit about that and why you created that?
Sure. As I mentioned, I've been on this kind of life quest and mission my whole life. I've known God my whole life, and this seems to be part of a much bigger plan. The book is a very cornerstone piece. But honestly, if you saw all the visions and things that I see that we can create in this world to make it a better place, it's immense. And I need help. And we need an organization to help us move this forward. I'm not going to be here forever. So the Seventh Foundation, along with supporting the book and marketing and all that, will have big pieces to play in the game of life here as we go forward. So it's going to become something much greater than it is now. It needs to start out as kind of a holding place for all of these good ideas and an organization to back it all up. So it's really a startup at the moment. Mm-hmm. The One Movement and One Party has to do with, when I look at the world, it seems to me that there are so many organizations all fighting for the same thing that sometimes it's counterintuitive in the sense that they're dividing their efforts, between them. They're almost fighting against themselves. If we could unite, let me back up one step. Humanity united is the greatest power on the planet. It always has been and always will be. It's mm-hmm. What started countries. It's what's overthrown countries. It's what's built the pyramids. You know what I'm saying? It's all of us united. The problem that we have, it's also the most easily manipulated power. So, you know, there's two different types of leaders in our world. There's the leaders that really want to help us and are of merit and are truly out there to find solutions for all of us. And then there are the leaders that feel like it's their God-given right to rule over us, to manipulate us, to lie to us. Everything is win-lose. And they seem like they have to fight. And a lot of them just like to put their thumb over people. It makes them feel powerful.
Yeah.
So when you look throughout all of human history, you can see this kind of fight going on, right? All the different revolutions and everything else that's happened. It's always about, hey, we've had enough. Let's create a better society. Can we fix this?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
All the people going out, if anybody's marching on the streets, you shouldn't dismiss it. There's clearly something wrong, whether if they are misunderstanding something or if they really know something's going on. Either one of those are a big problem, right?
Absolutely.
That you should be addressing. So for me, when I'm looking at all of our society, we need a movement to help us kind of join together. So you can keep your movement and join all those other ones, but join the one movement so that we can push all these issues forward together. And once it's joined together, it's kind of like if you imagine all the civil rights movements around the world joined together and then having type of movement days and whatnot and joining together, you can have a lot more power. The same thing is with the one party. The one party is an idea where, and again, it's not one party like there's no other parties. This is a united party to make government work for us. It's not divided on dismissing some virtues over other virtues. If you look at political parties, especially of the past, you can see like they'll have a group of virtues like, oh, we're, you know, financially responsible. We believe in law and order. We, you know, whatever it may be. Each one of these is virtues. The problem with most political parties is then they dismiss other ones. You can't have law and order without humane treatment, right? Because then you become like a communist state or something or a dictatorship. Yeah, you have law and order. Nobody's saying anything, but you're beating them and treating them like garbage. That is not a good way to be. So the one party, the one movement is about integrating all virtue into the party and really finding true solutions. We're not about fighting all these fringe issues and that's all we're about. We're about making sure all the core systems of what government does it well, efficient as possible, and we get everything on the true path. And if you look at America, one of the biggest problems we have is this two-party system because it becomes us versus them, right? Yeah. Just in the male mind, if you have two, it's a competition. Right? Mm-hmm. It's us versus them. It's going to be some type of war. And with every organization, what you have is a lot of times the most extreme view people, the people that are really into it, they become the leaders and the parties seem to fracture, right? Now they're led by the extremes on both ends and they're both really into fighting each other instead of doing the core work of what we're all supposed to be doing, right? So the idea is that if we had a third party in government, even if it had like 10 seats in the Senate, just imagine everything would have to go through us. They wouldn't be this us versus them fight, right? It would be, okay, people, this is sanity. We're going to fix the roads in this country. You know, let's stop this. This is America. We're not about this division. We're about unity. So it's the United States of America. And anybody that's fighting for breaking up the country and talking all this division isn't, in my opinion, a true American, because it's like true Americans are about figuring out ways we can unite and make a better, stronger country to figure out how we can relate to each other. And honestly, when I investigate all the stuff that's happening in this country, it's really based on lies and misinformation and manipulation by a very few individuals. We have to stop getting all our news from a couple billionaires. I'm sorry, I just went off topic a little bit there.
It's okay. I get where you're coming from, and it's perfectly good. Tell me a little bit about, you know, when you're not involved with, you know, trying to get this movement or off the ground and talking about the book. So, I know that you've been, an entrepreneur for a long time. What are you doing today? What is your business like? And how are you impacting the world other than those things?
Sure. Absolutely. My brother and I started the business when I was in college trying to deal cars to the Naval Academy, Army Academy. He went to the Naval Academy. Both of those got crushed because the principal told me to stop doing it because I was taking all the kids' lunch money and all the dealers and people around all the schools did not appreciate me taking all their business. So anyways, those two businesses got kiboshed in a way. So, you know, from there, I started a lot of different companies. And like I said, in 1999, I started Consulting Ace. And I was part of a lot of other companies, done a lot of different startups. I was part of a drug testing website business. I'm not sure what year that started, but I took that over. So I have a drug testing company. I've got my consulting business and I have coaching and training through the Seventh Foundation. And the Seventh Foundation is kind of plays on my past in the sense that it's business coaching too. But every time I would coach people with their business, I swear it always came back to their personal life. Because it was, if you're having problems with your wife or your kids or your health or whatever it may be, those are going to affect your business.
Absolutely.
So for me, when I'm talking coaching programs and training programs for people, it's to try to get all the foundations of your life up to a certain degree, because truly it's the weakest link that can destroy you. And it can take you off of your main focus. Mm-hmm. So if we show you how to communicate better with your wife or your kids and have a better relationship, your business will do better. If we find the bottlenecks in your business and all the other problems that you may not know of, we can fix them. And what I find too is having an outside consultant come in, especially somebody like me who can kind of relate with different people. I found that, I swear, it was like probably 60, 70% of the time, the employees of the company all know the problems. Yeah. Like if you go sit down with them, and the boss, like they're afraid to tell the boss, or the boss just doesn't ask the right questions or something like that. So when you come back, it's like, no, the boss is like, is this the problem? This, no, no. It really comes down to Job there. The guy's a jerk to everybody, and he's stifling your business. Everybody knows it. They don't know what to do. They bring things to him, and it just sits on his desk for 3 weeks or whatever. You know what I mean? The boss is like, what? Joe's my best guy. You know what I'm saying? So there's this huge disconnect. And I think that a lot of times, you need somebody to come in as a third party to find out these problems because you just can't see them yourself. And that's true with a human being in general. We don't know what we don't know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we know what we don't know. Like I know I can't build a spaceship, right? But right. There's also other things that you know that you just don't know. I mean, you don't know what you don't know. So mm-hmm. having somebody else come in and show you and help you through these different pieces can really accelerate your life. I'm not saying that book isn't complete. It truly is. But having a coach sometimes can make you go faster. It's mm-hmm. like you can read a book about basketball, right? And watch a video. But if you have a guy standing, no, wait, stop. You just did that crossover and you started too late. You know what I'm saying? And you couldn't really see that because you actually have the ball in your hand. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of the idea. What I'm trying to do now is trying to working with more influencers who can influence other people with these principles. Because again, everything that's in this book, this isn't Andrew's way. This is truly the human way for us to become the best people we can be. You can't leave out some of these pieces. You know, if you don't take care of your health, that can destroy you, right? Now you have cancer, you're in the hospital, everything, all your goals, everything else you're focused on in your life is now secondary, if not third. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So what we try to do is really help people get every aspect of their life in balance and focus on the issues that they're having the most problems with and help show them how they can overcome them. So, and again, the world doesn't have to be this hard. You know, I think one of the main things that I found when I'm doing this book is it's super complex. Don't get me wrong, but you can boil it down to some simple things and then build out from the center and create a much better foundation and a much better understanding of the world. If you start from the fringes and work your way in, it's too complex. Yeah. You know, it becomes much more complicated. Hopefully that makes sense.
Oh, it does. Absolutely. Yeah. And you're right about when you're talking about the fact that, you know, you do need this outside party because it's so true. Cause I know when I've worked with coaching clients as well, it's, and even myself, when I've been coached, is that we have blinders on. We can't see, you know, some of these things are like right in front of our face where other people, and sometimes we don't even hear the words that we're speaking. But somebody else who, you know, can really pick up on it right away and go, you know, did you really mean to say that? Yeah, and so it's absolutely. So helpful. Yeah. Well, absolutely. This has been an amazing discussion. I've really enjoyed a lot of it. And I want to ask you a couple things. Number one, how can people get the book? How can they get The Way? Where is that available?
Sure. The Way is everywhere. All major retailers, Target, Walmart, Amazon, all over the world. It's in hardback. Softback and ebook and Kindle. So wherever you are, if you want an ebook version, Google has it, Apple has it, everybody. You can also go to the website. Now the website is the number 7. I should say 7 Wayme. So it's the number 7 WAY.ME. You can think about it like a command. The way has 7 steps and it's named The Way. So you can say 7 Wayme now, you know, like a 7 way. And on their website, you'll find all the links about me, you know, more information about me, all the shows I've been on, all that kind of stuff. You'll find an action center, which has all sorts of information that can help you become a better person within your personal life. All of the way is on there too. You can learn about the way. Within the way, there's a lot of extra materials like your daily way, this focus sheet. You can download all that stuff within the action center. Mm-hmm. There's also a section called Society Solutions. I'm doing videos on all sorts of meaningful topics, how to overcome negative thinking, depression, and suicidal thoughts, how to overcome addiction, how to fix our justice system, how to end corruption, why we're not divided, and what the real problems are. I'm doing more videos all the time. So you can find all sorts of cool videos there. They're on YouTube and Facebook too. You can find links to all the social media there. We're starting Facebook groups and pages everywhere. So I'm just, you know, a little stuttering on my social media. It's a lot of work, as people know out there, but you could join us now and help us grow as we go forward. So everything's on 7 Wayme. And you can remember my name is Andrew Calderella, kind of like Cinderella. It's Calder instead of Cinder because I'm the male version. And I am looking for my princess to come rescue me. Hopefully she'll show up one of these days. Anyway, so that's it. I mean, that's the best way to get a hold of me. I'm on all the social media. Like I said, you can find me everywhere. Real Peace Ace is my handle. And again, all the links are on the website too.
All right. Awesome. Well, I will be sure to put all that information in the show notes. So if you are listening somewhere where you're driving or doing something else, don't go to liveloveengagepodcast.com and you'll be able to get all that information there. And so this has been great. And I know that you are doing a lot of good in the world by spreading the message. And I compliment you on doing that. And I encourage everyone out there to, check out Andrew's site, go to 7way.me and get a copy of the book and let's make this world a better place.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. And I am just getting started, everybody. So this is just the beginning.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait to see where you go from here. So you're off to a good start. So that's awesome. Thank you, everyone who is watching and listening, and I hopefully you're already subscribed to our channel on Apple and our YouTube as well. If you go to Gloria Rand Video on YouTube, you'll be able to see the podcast there. I've got a playlist. And until next time, as always, I encourage you to go out and live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. Did you know that a majority of entrepreneurs tend to discount the importance of their work? And a good number feel their success is simply due to luck. I know from personal experience that self-doubt can keep you from having the kind of life and business you desire. That's why I've created a free guide called Uniquely You, How to Move from Self-Doubt to Self-Love in 4 Simple Steps. To claim your free guide, go to liveloveengage.gift. That's liveloveengage.gift.